I think the main takeaway leading up to this point is a lot of different ways that we can go grab what we want out of the DOM, the document object model. And of course, the main reason why you want to do that is you typically want to do something with it. So we're going to get into now the manipulation of things in the DOM. And for simplicity, for the amount of time that we have anyway, we decided that it would be really good to focus on the adding, the modifying, or the removing of anything in the DOM. And a very common thing that you're going to do is change styles. And you know, there's a lot of different ways that it can be done. We're not going to focus on all of them, but we are going to show you some methodologies for modifying content and modifying style. So let's talk about one of these things here. We've declared a variable called x. It's going to equal the response of calling our query selector with an ID. The ID in this example is just any ID that happens to have that name. One way that you can manipulate something is by calling the inner text. So a classic example of that would be if the ID was on a div or a span or something with some simple text in it, we could change what that inner text is. And in this example, we just said, hey, let's change the inner text to changed. Another thing that you can do is change the class name. So let's say you've identified styles in your CSS, which is a good practice to do to put the styling there. And now you want to change this element to have a different class name or add one if it didn't have one before. So in this example, x.classname equals item means it's going to do just that. This will now have the item as its class name. That's good, but you showed an example earlier, Jan. I saw you were in there. You were modifying a class, and then you said, hey, I'm going to go add another class name in here. So you know, that space delimited list means that that's what we have, a list of classes. So we also have at our disposal the ability to call class list, which will allow us to add, remove items in the class in the event that someone has multiple classes in or assigned to a particular element. So I would love to showcase this now. I'm going to go over to the DOM manipulation inside of the CodeShow project. And I want to talk about a few things here. In fact, I'm going to save this one for last, so I'm going to collapse that. I am in the ready event for this page. I've declared that there is going to be a button and a title that I'm going to retrieve. There's also a container, which I needed just the name for. Then I'm adding an event listener that says, okay, when you click on the title, change the inner text to say DOM span inner text, something simple. If you click on the button, and I called it P button, and the reason why I called it that is that if I go to the original DOM, and I think this is an example of how dynamic you can get with your manipulations here, just look at the actual insides of the body of this document. I mean, we have that fragment and the DOM class name here. We have the typical thing that comes with the starter template that allows us to say, okay, what do you want the page title to be? So I have DOM there. And then I just have a paragraph tag really as the thing that says click on any content. This is what I'm calling the DOM button, even though it's a paragraph tag. Now, later on, we're going to get into a little bit more into event listeners. But the main focus I want to do here is to say, when we do click on that paragraph tag, I'm going to do a few things. First, I'm going to extract what's the text inside of that paragraph. Then I'm going to remove it. I'm taking it out. Then I'm going to go create a new button, apply the text that I just extracted from the paragraph. So that shows that inner text is both a gettable and settable property. Go to the container and say, I'm going to append this new button. Then I'm going to create a div. And then there's another way that you can add some content. Inside the div, I'm going to actually apply this inner HTML, which means I'm going to create an unordered list with one item in it. add that there, and then I call my add item function. That add item function is the one that I collapsed up here. What makes this interesting is that we add then an event listener to it, and we give it a class name, inner text, we create a new one, and then add it again. That means every time I click an item in this, it's actually going to create another item. So I think this is going to get interesting. I'll go ahead and run this project. Go to the DOM. And as we see, you know, it says click on any content. So in theory, if I click on this, it should magically turn into a button. Shazam! But not only that, I get an unordered list with an item in it. When I click on the item, whoa, what happened? Every time I'm clicking it, I'm getting new items, and I'm applying a class name to it, so it's also changing the style on the fly as well. So it's a way to demonstrate that you could really get dynamic with the DOM by manipulating the content. And again, the key takeaways here are inner text is a good friend. So is, when we're looking down below, inner HTML, if you have some content that you want to pass in that way. And you can also use the class list or the class name. And up here, I use class name to just say, hey, any the items that we have here, let's go ahead and give it a class name. There's one other area I want to show this as well. The title, as you could see over here, says DOM title. Now, I'm going to go find that in the HTML real quick. That's here. And you can see there's already a class assigned to it called page title. But what if I click on the title of the page and I also want it to have that little glow to it, but I don't want to remove this class? It's really just as simple as going into this code and saying, I would like to say title.classList.add and then add the item class to it. When I do that, if I go back over and look at this DOM and click on the title, I apply the new class. And then what's even more interesting is if I go back over into Visual Studio to the DOM Explorer, if I scroll down inside and find where that title is, which is right here, you could see that it shows both the page title and the item in the class. And this is the power of using the DOM Explorer. See, what did it actually do and how did it impact? Because when we started off, it only had page title there. Now we can see we dynamically added an item as well. All done through these simple manipulations. I'm a big fan of using class names or making sure that the styles are in an external style sheet instead of another option you can do, and that's directly go after the style of the element. And I'm not saying that I would never do that, but if I can, I would always like to apply the styles like this because you can add and remove them easy enough, and they're not difficult to create and define in an external CSS file. So that takes us to responding to events. So event handling, we've kind of seen a sneak peek of it, but my goodness, the entire app is based on events to some extent. I mean, my goodness, the whole thing has to begin somewhere. All the content has to start somewhere. You know, in other kind of languages, there's always the the analogy of where's your public static void main, so to speak. Where does everything begin? So in our world, we've just been taking advantage of the fact that there's been some event handlers already kind of baked by merit of the template. But event handling here can be done a couple ways. It can be done declaratively, or it can be done programmatically. The declarative approach would be doing something like this, where you have the onClick right on the button, and then you have it point to a handler, and then somewhere in your JavaScript you define that handler. But what do you think would have to be true with regard to scope for that all to work?
Seems like that page would have to have within its scope the ability to see that handler method.
Yeah. And for that to happen, it means it would probably have to be in a global scope. And
that's correct.
That is what is happening. So this is not what we would recommend. Can you do it? Sure, you could do it. But there is yet another way.
Yeah, and one thing I would point out there, you might run into the issue where you might extend a function to the global namespace. You might even do it the right way by using namespace, which we'll learn about later. But even if you extend it to the global namespace and then use it on your HTML page, you're still going to run into an error because Windows 8, in a few ways, makes sure that the user is safe. And one of the ways that they do that is they make sure that they're not instantiating or calling, executing any functions from the declarative page, from the HTML page. And unless you go into the JavaScript and say, this one's okay, this function is okay to call from the HTML page. So certainly something that you can get working, but there's really not too much reason not to do it imperatively in the code.
Yes. And I think if just to be on the safe side with regard to what Jeremy's talking about, I'm switching over to the code view. I'm assuming that what you're saying is on the page, meaning having an actual script block like this on the page where you're defining a handler, which you can do. But again, I'm not really a big fan of that. Is that what you meant by on the page, or did you mean the declaration of it in the on click?
Even if you declare it in the on click, because you're calling that function from the HTML page, still you're going to run into trouble. You're going to get an error thrown that says something along the lines of this function is not marked for processing.
Right.
And so what you need to do is mark the function for processing, and then it will be allowed to be called from the HTML page.
Excellent. Thank you. So now we're going to discuss what the programmatic way of doing this would be. So assuming we have a button with an ID of BTN, we notice that there is no onClick anywhere. We create a function called handler, and then down below you can see that we're extracting what the button is. In this example, we use a query selector and made it a variable called B. And then we're saying B.addEventListener, click, and then handler. So that is a way to do it programmatically. And what that means is, hey, anytime this button gets clicked, it's listening. It's like, hey, am I getting clicked? And yeah, sure. So go call this handler function. Now, I know Jeremy is, in a moment, he's going to be showcasing a really cool feature. I like this a lot. It's your the event handling page that you did in CodeShow.
Right.
But right before we go there, I just wanted to show you something that's kind of interesting about this global space and also with regard to event handling. And you might see this, and we're just going to reference it. If you do happen to have something like, let's say, DOM container or DOM title as IDs in this document, you'll notice that in some cases you might find that right off the bat, in fact, let me find a good place to do this. If I start typing DOM, and I'll see DOM button and DOM container there. I'll zoom in on that so you can see that. Now, why did those two things appear? What do you think? Why did these ID'd elements appear? And DOM titles at the bottom of that list as well. What do you think is the reason that they're appearing in my IntelliSense?
It appears that they're in the global namespace.
They're in the global namespace. Which means, technically, if I wanted to respond to the titles click event, I could say DOM title dot on click. Now, I didn't say var something equals and then go query it. I'm using it as if it's instantly available, which technically it is. So we're not suggesting that you would use that approach for event handling with things. And this would only work, of course, with elements that are ID'd. We're just simply saying that there is that, if you see code samples and so forth, that's why it works. It's because IDs in the HTML page are in the global namespace, so you technically wouldn't have to do a document.getElementById. Another thing that's kind of interesting is that you'll notice that when I'm using a click event, like here, I use the word click, but when we're doing it programmatically, well, we see onClick. That's a typical naming convention. So as a method, it's onClick. But for add event listener, it's click. That being said, if possible, Jeremy, what would you think about showcasing or talking about the events within Code Show.
Yeah, let's do it. Since you all have access to Code Show, you have access to this project, this page, this demo. This one is called the Event Handlers, and there are multiple ways to define an event handler, and so I'm showing the difference between those event handlers in here. Does everybody see the large blue button? Can you see that? I just want to make sure that that's visible.
We just want to make sure it's visible.
Yeah, yeah. It's on the. I can zoom into that button. Anyway, that's a button. And there are three different ways to add and, in some cases, remove events from this button. Right now, the button is a whole lot of no good to any of us.
Yeah.
It does nothing. But we've got a little log here, and we can clear the log. And let's go ahead and set the onClick event. This was the not necessarily the declarative method in HTML, but we did this by, I'll take you right over to the code, by saying I want to explicitly set the onClick attribute of the button to say hi. Okay? So that's the function down here. Say hi. It just says hi. So I do that, and now all of a sudden I can say hi.
I see.
Okay? And it continues to work all day long until I remove the onClick event. And to do that, I set onClick to null.
That's simple.
Simple. Yep. Now, the thing about onClick is there is only one. Again, we're back to Highlander. There is only one onClick, and so you can set it to a function, but it will never hold more than one function, ever, ever, ever. So we can set it, we can remove it, and we've disabled our button, but we have that limitation. It only holds one. Now, there's another way to add, another imperative way to add an event handler, and that is with the add event listener. Some people say that this is the recommended, the best, for some reason, way to add event handlers. Both work, and you're free to use both. In this case, it's a little bit different syntax. We reference our button, and we say, I want to add an event listener to this button, and that event listener is supposed to react to this event of the button. The button has a click event. Notice the naming convention. All of the attributes have the word on before. On click, so click is the name of the event. And the second parameter that it takes is the function that we want it to call. Okay? There's actually a third parameter here, a Boolean, that you can look up. We won't talk about it right now. And then to remove that one, you have to call remove event handler, which event you want to remove, and you have to have the name of that function that you attached to it so that you can remove it. Let's go look at that. We've got nothing on there yet. In fact, let's clear the log. Let's add a click listener using the add event listener. Now, button, 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 button. We can say hi all day, and we can remove it. Very helpful. Okay, two different ways to do pretty much the same thing. Now, the third one here is doing it a little bit differently. The third one, instead of using the say hi method, as we did in the previous examples, this one is doing it anonymously. It's adding an anonymous function by way of the add event listener. And that can be added, but since that function doesn't have a name, there's not really a way to pull that event listener off.
Hey, to make sure there's no smoke and mirrors, is there any way you can refresh that and change that word hi to something else so we know we're really calling this anonymous function?
Absolutely. Let's call it hello. Is that distant enough?
That's good.
All right. We'll run it. Now, I add this anonymous click listener, and it says hello, but there's no way to remove it.
What?
Because I added an anonymous function, so there's no way to remove it except to kind of reset that object and lose all of its events.
I see.
Now, there's one other caveat of the add anonymous click listener.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. 1, 2, 3, 4. I already added one. I just added 4 more. I now have 5 event listeners on the big blue button. Ready? Let's clear the log.
What?
So add event listener, passing it an anonymous function, since it doesn't have any way of identifying that function, doesn't have any way of saying, hey, knucklehead, you've already added that function as an event on the click event. I'm not going to add it again for you. It says, okay, I'll add it. I'll add it. I'll add it. And all day long, you can add multiple events. Now, when you're adding click listener, you can add 5 or 10 or 100 different listeners to the same object, giving them all different method names. But when you're doing it anonymously, you can't pull them off.
So the advantage then of using the add listener, the click listener remove, is that you could still have the multiple features. The Highlander's the first one. There can only be one. And then you can use these add listeners and give them named functions which means you can explicitly remove them.
Absolutely.
Or you could just do it anonymously and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, get what you get.
Yeah.
That's right. So you can look at the code for that one, of course, under, I'm in the wrong spot here. It's under pages, event handlers. And if you look at the JavaScript, you can see how I'm adding each of those. So you can see what the differences between those are. Get a feeling for it.
Fantastic. Thank you for showing that. I really like that example. So that leads us to basically the conclusion of this particular module. It's getting exciting now because we've talked a lot about behaviors and content. We're getting into the querying. We're starting to get in. I feel like we're getting more into the insides of things, and we're starting to manipulate things. It may sound wrong, but it's all good because we're starting to toy with this as an app now.
It kind of feels like we might be getting to the point where we can actually do something.
That's right. That's what I'm feeling too. So we can find things, we can change things, we can respond to things, and that means that we're going to be getting into some more advanced stuff here, getting pretty shortly.
Yep.